Hi, I'm Femi Oke, and you're watching The Stream. Will the Parthenon marbles ever return to Greece? This is a question that's been going on for a very long time. The original sculptures were removed from Athens in the early 19th century by Lord Elgin, the British ambassador to the Ottoman Empire. Greece wants her national treasures back, currently housed in the British Museum in London, as you can see here. What will it take for the Parthenon marbles to go home? You can join this discussion. It's been going on for 200 years at least. You can jump on here into the comment section, be part of today's show.
As a student of classics in the 1970s, I believe that there were good reasons for keeping the Parthenon sculptures in England. First, they were an integral and legally acquired part of the British Museum's collection. Secondly, they were safer in London than in traffic-plagued Athens. And thirdly, returning them would set a terrible precedent for the return of other items. Now I'm a classics professor, and I know that all those arguments are invalid or untrue. Very few objects have such iconic status. If they do, they too should be returned. The time's overdue for the British Museum to create its own display of the Parthenon frieze in full colour and to repatriate the original marbles to their home in Athens.
Talking about the Parthenon sculptures in the British Museum, Yiannis, Tristram, Ellie, so good to have all three of you here on this show. Yiannis, please say hello to our audience around the world. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Hello, Femi. Hello, everyone. My name is Yiannis Andritsopoulos. I think that you didn't want to pronounce my name because you scared that you wouldn't mispronounce
it. I am fearless. Yiannis, I am fearless. Don't test me.
I will test you. In the course of this discussion. So sure. I'm the London correspondent for a Greek daily newspaper called Tanea. I've been based in London for almost 7 years. And as you can imagine, I've been covering the Parthenon marbles a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Of course, I can imagine. Totally. Tristram, so nice to have you. Please introduce yourself to our audience around the world. Tell them who you are and what you do briefly.
Hello, Femi. Lovely to be here with you. I'm Tristram Besterman. I'm a retired UK museum director who is guilty of returning material in our collections to the source community. And I'm now a freelance advisor and help other museums to do the same.
Such a troublemaker, Tristram. Good to have you. Ellie, welcome to the show. Please tell our audience who you are and what you do briefly.
Hello, everyone. It's lovely to be here. My name's Ellie Simons, and I'm the Vice President of the Australian Parthenon Committee and co-founder of the Acropolis Research Group. And we have been, well, many in our committee have been active on the campaign for 20 to 25 years. I've been in the campaign for 10 years, and I'm just very passionate about this issue.
So we asked the British Museum to be part of this conversation, and as they typically do, they sent a statement rather than a person. This is what they said to us. We will loan the sculptures, as we do many other objects, to those who wish to display them to the public around the world, provided they will look after them and return them. Ellie.
Yes. You'd like me to comment on that?
Please, take the filter off.
Well, what they failed to say in that sentence is that they require anyone loaning to sign a waiver, an ownership waiver, which, of course, the Hellenic government is, unable to do. It's just not possible for them to sign an ownership waiver. So that's why it's not possible for them to be loaned to Greece, given they have been loaned to the Hermitage Museum in Russia. One pediment piece was several years ago. But, yes, it's this ownership waiver, which the Hellenic government will not sign.
Tristram, I'm just amazed that we're even having a discussion about this. There is no debate anymore, is there? Is it even possible to be neutral on the Parthenon sculptures and where they should truly be housed?
Well, I'm professionally, as well as personally, embarrassed that the British Museum consistently refuses to enter into a constructive public dialogue. There has been a sea change in museums right across the UK over the last 20 years or so, and the focus has moved away from sort of ownership of stuff to how does the museum and what it holds relate to people, to communities, either the communities who live around the museum or the communities from which the material came. It's all about conversations. It's all about giving people a voice. And it embarrasses me that the British Museum is so far behind the curve in having that kind of constructive dialogue. Because having led it myself in Manchester, where we had big diaspora communities from all over the world, but particularly from Africa, what happens is when you give them a voice and empower them in the museum starts to sprout wings and we learn so much more, and the people who use the museum hear other voices. It becomes a more vibrant, interesting and exciting place. Mm-hmm. Everybody wins. So the idea that you've got this museum sitting in the middle of Bloomsbury that holds so much material from all around the world, but we're here specifically to talk about the Parthenon sculptures, refuses to have that conversation, and I can explain in a moment why that is, is a matter of professional embarrassment.
Let me just tap into our audience who are watching right now, Yiannis. This is Tom. Tom Flynn says, loan them. How do you loan stolen goods to their rightful owners, Yiannis?
Well, that's a good point, and that's precisely why the Greek government consistently has refused to contemplate a loan solution. Greece wants the marbles back to be reunited in Athens with the rest of the marbles permanently, not as a loan. And I'm slightly optimistic that we will get there in the near future.
Why are you optimistic?
Well, I don't know if there is yet a shift in the British Museum's stance. What I can see for sure is a change of language. Let me remind everyone that the president, the chair of the trustees of the British Museum, George Osborne, said a couple of months ago that there is a deal to be done. So let's build on that statement and try to reach a deal with the British Museum.
All right. Eddie, what is it like as somebody who's Greek to have your treasures in a British museum? What does that feel like?
Well, look, I think this is a twofold thing. There are Hellenes, like myself, in the Greek diaspora, and also Philhellenes. And so I don't think you can differentiate. I think Philhellenes feel as strongly about this issue as Hellenes. But as a Hellene, I can say that as the famous Melina Mercouri said, you know, they are our heart, they're our soul, they're our passion. I mean, we are very aware that we have a very long history. They were carved and created here 2,500 years ago in Athens, and we as Greeks feel very strongly that they should be reunited, not just. They need to be reunited as part of the building, and they can't be on the building, but the next best thing, of course, is the Acropolis Museum, and to be as one artwork. Yeah. And I think Philhellenes around the world agree with that.
Can you tell people who are not Hellenes what an Hellene is?
Well, a Hellene, I guess, is someone that identifies as being Greek, of Greek parents and ancestry, Greek parents and grandparents.
So the Acropolis Museum was built because the British Museum said, well, in Athens, you don't have anywhere suitable to put your own treasures in. So then the Greeks built this incredibly beautiful museum, and then the British Museum still didn't give the treasures back. Tristram,
yes.
Because of two acts which forbid the British Museum to give away what's in the museum that they probably looted or stole or acquired in unethical ways. Tristram.
Well, I do want to pay tribute to Greece for building such a beautiful museum. It is absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And the very top floor is like a great big glass case that looks across the valley to the Acropolis, and you can see the Parthenon with as you walk around the sculptures. But just to go back to the point that Ellie was making and connect it with what I was saying about relationships, in this dysfunctional relationship between Britain and Greece, there are three players. There's the Greek government, there's the British Museum, and there is the British government. And the reason that the two national governments are so important is that by statute that was passed in 1963, the British Museum is not allowed to divest itself of certain things, of anything in the collection, unless it meets certain conditions. And that's why we have this merry-go-round of the British Museum saying, we can't discuss it because we're forbidden from parting with this material by Act of Parliament. And Parliament says, we can't discuss it because it's British Museum business. So you go round and round in a wonderful circle.
It's deliberate. Tristram, surely that's got to be deliberate. It's, Yanis, you go ahead. It's a built-in safety net. So you don't have to return the Parthenon sculptures.
Yeah. It's a wall.
It's a law.
Exactly.
If you
let me add, what Tristram just described is what we call in Greece a game of ping pong between the British Museum and the British government, because the British Museum says that because of the British Museum Act, we cannot give you the marbles back. And on the other hand, the British government says the British Museum is the owner of the marbles. Don't talk to me, talk to the museum. And while this is technically true, Femi, it is in fact the British government that could introduce the necessary legislation to allow the sculptures return to Greece, but it simply does not want to do it, at least not for the time being. I'm optimistic that this will change in the future.
Look, I have to show you some headlines, Tristram. First of all, you go first, Tristram, I'll go second with my headlines. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say that there is good reason for Yanis's optimism, because there is precedent. When Parliament sees something that is clearly not right and unjust, it has intervened in the past. In 2004, there was an Act of Parliament in which museums were added, which allowed them and enabled them to give back human tissue, human remains, bones, skulls to source communities, because Parliament regarded this as completely unjust, that source communities should not be able to reclaim their ancestors. So there's a precedent there. That was in 2004. In 2009, we had a big scandal about Nazi spoliated art that was in the British Museum and in other museums. And again, material which had been stolen by the Nazis and ended up in our national collections was subject to enabling legislation which allowed this to be returned. So there is good precedent for Parliament stepping in, doing the right thing when the right thing needs to be done.
Yes, talking about Parliament, I was just curious about how many British Prime Ministers have said, we cannot possibly return. It's interesting that we call them the Parthenon sculptures rather than the Elgin marbles. I think that shows a little bit of a public opinion change here. But I wanted to go back a few years. I went back to 1999. Have a look here on my laptop for some headlines about the Parthenon sculptures. Blair blocks return of Elgin marbles. David Cameron rejects call to return Parthenon marbles to Greece. We've got one from Boris Johnson, RIP. Boris Johnson says British Museum trustees must decide fate of Parthenon marbles, kicking it over to the British Museum. And then one more from the very short-lived UK Prime Minister, Liz Truss, says she does not support repatriating the Parthenon marbles to Greece. So Prime Ministers, doesn't really matter who they are or even what party they're in, Yanis, they don't seem to be behind the idea of these Parthenon sculptures going back to Athens. Are you getting something different from the British public, though?
Yeah, of course, because first of all, let me remind everyone that the extract you just read from Boris Johnson, Johnson as a prime minister said that to me in an exclusive interview with Tanea a year ago. But we also revealed last summer that when Boris Johnson was an undergraduate in Oxford University, he had said exactly the opposite, that the marbles belonged to Greece. And actually, he provided proof that says that Lord Elgin had stolen the marbles. So I think that it doesn't make sense. I mean, his current position. But yes, because you mentioned the British public, there are a series of opinion polls. So the latest one was released a few days ago that says that overwhelmingly the British public supports the reunification of the Parthenon marbles.
There is a broader conversation to be had, not just about the Parthenon sculptures or the Elgin marbles, however you want to call them, but what it really means to have art from another culture and another country shut up in a different museum on the other side of the world. Here's Georgia Garvey. This is what she told us a few hours ago.
In a broader sense, proud of the contribution of the ancient Greeks, but most relevant, the marbles are a symbol of the thousands of similar items in museums in the UK, in Germany, in France, items that in many cases were acquired through questionable methods. And as to whether they should be returned, it's not a matter of if, but when. Obviously, the British Museum is worried about opening the floodgates, and they should be. Items from Egypt, India, Nigeria, we should be having conversations about all of the, returning all of the ill-gotten artifacts to their home countries.
What is so bad about art going back to the country of its birth, the country and the countrymen and women who created it, Ellie? Why is that a disaster?
Well, it's not a disaster. I mean, look, I suppose it depends on the perspective. If the item that you're talking about is a pivotal piece of a nation, a culture's history, then of course it's important. If it's a sculpture or a piece of work that has other instances or is quite similar or is part of an assemblage that is, you know, it is more common, then of course it's great for that culture to have. To argue, I mean, that's what purpose of a universal museum is, to exhibit wonderful things from heritage all over the world, and they are great repositories. We all love these museums, but there are just simply some artifacts, some pieces that are unique, like the Parthenon sculptures, and this is the case that we make. They are unique. There is nothing else like them. They are not one single piece of work. It's not, you can't just take a river god from the pediment and say it's a statue. It's not a statue. The whole frieze and the whole pediment of the Parthenon and the metopes, they are one unified monument, as we describe it, and they are, as great Geoffrey Robertson has called it, a showreel of ancient Athens, you know, the mythology, the history of ancient Athens. So you cannot take these pieces out and assemble them, and nor should they be in half. They need to be reunified because, quite simply, it is a unique monument and it is representative of a culture and of a history that goes back such a long way, that the people that created it, and it's just really imperative that it comes together as one.
So Tristan, I'm just looking at a page on the British Museum's website called Contested Objects from the Collection. Let's just take a look here. It's really interesting the way that the British Museum writes about how the Parthenon sculptures ended up in the British Museum. I think it's an interesting narrative that they've chosen to share with the public. But we have Benin bronzes, we've got human remains, we have an early shield from Australia, Parthenon sculptures. Is it possible that if the Parthenon sculptures go back to Athens, that then the British Museum will begin to lose what they value so much, which is world culture and art, that they feel, and they have actually said to us in a statement, that they can make those connections between art around the world, and the British Museum is the best place to do that?
Well, this is the universalist argument, and it has been made very strongly by various directors of the British Museum. Neil McGregor was a great ambassador for that idea, but it is largely discredited now. And I wanted to come back on Ellie's point, mm-hmm. and just to add to it, I agreed with everything she said, but what makes the Parthenon sculptures so unique is that the building from which they were hacked by the Earl of Elgin, that building still exists. It is there. Yes. And that makes them very, very particular. The only comparative item in the British Museum collection to that would be the beard of the Sphinx, because the Sphinx is still there in the desert of Egypt. But I do want to emphasize the fact that these are a very, very special assemblage of items that, as Ellie says, they were part and parcel of a building. They were part of the structure of the building. And it's not a coincidence that in Greece, these sculptures are referred to as blocks, because they are relief carvings on the blocks that form the part of the structure. Elgin got local stonemasons to saw them off so he could ship them back to Britain. And so they're called slabs in Britain, and that's because they've already been mutilated. And so you can see in their form today their disconnection, really, from that wonderful building, which stands as a monument to classical ideas and principles that echo down the centuries, down the millennia. Okay. And it is a national disgrace that we are still arguing about it.
Can I please give an example of what Tristram is saying right now? Just an example. Think of Athena, the goddess of Athena. Her head and her neck is in the Acropolis Museum, while her right breast remains in the British Museum. Does that make sense to you?
No, nobody wants to have just one breast. All right, Hakeem Bishara, if you're a sculptor, I add. Hakeem Bishara told us this a little bit earlier, and I think it really is aimed at the British Museum, who's not in this conversation, but been mentioned many, many times. Let's have a listen. Let's have a look.
It's good news that the British Museum is finally willing to talk, but it shouldn't be a negotiation. The idea of a loan, however long-term it is only adding insult to injury. What the British Museum and government should do immediately is, first, return the sculptures. Second, apologize for keeping them for so long. And third, work with Greek scholars and artists on mounting an exhibition at the British Museum that explains how these artifacts were acquired and returned. It's never too late to decolonize.
You know, our audience who are watching right now are asking, fantastic, where is the British Museum in this conversation? We're talking about them, but they're not here to speak for themselves. I am wondering, Ellie, how long is this conversation, this persuasion going to go on? 1 year, 5 years, 20 years? What do you think?
Well, of course, it's actually been going on for 200 years. I mean, King Otto was the first. They requested it not long after the first Greek state was formed. But I guess the campaign in the last 30, 40 years has really been advocating very strongly. But I think the conversation, as Yanni said at the very beginning, I feel that there is a shift, there is a change. I think the zeitgeist really has changed. And it's picking up momentum. It's wrong on so many levels. And of course, one thing we haven't discussed yet, which I'd like to touch on, is the solution. You know, what is the solution? Yes, they should just give them back, and it should be a political will. It should just be a decision that gets made. But then, you know, what can the solution look like?
Yeah. Ellie, can you give me the solution in one sentence? Because we're right at the very end of the show. Your last word is what?
Okay, the solution rests on 3D digital printing of a beautiful set of copies and or a rotating exhibition of wonderful artefacts which the Greek government is prepared to give loan and as an exhibition.
Okay, Ellie's got the solution right here. Why have we been discussing this for 200 years? We could have just asked Ellie. Ellie, Tristram and Yanis and all of our viewers who are watching on YouTube and watching around the world, thanks for joining us. I'll see you next time. Take care.